Psalm 119. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 145, and we read through verse 152. And Psalm 119 is the Word of God from A to Z. It's an Hebrew acrostic going through the Hebrew letters of the alphabet as more than likely a memory device for God's people in understanding the Scriptures. And we come to the letter Kaf, and we've been just going through Psalm 119 together as a church family at Hudson Valley. So we pick it up here at Psalm 119 at verse 145. Let's hear the word of the Lord and receive it with believing hearts. I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you establish them to last forever. So far, the reading of the Word of God, and may it is a blessing to it. Please keep the Bible open for the message on using God's Word. Your congregation of Christ and brothers and sisters in the Lord, you ever have sleepless nights? Maybe it's because your spouse is snoring. Well, maybe some other reasons tonight why you have sleepless nights. Maybe you always go back in time. You tend to do that. I do. We kind of replay the conflicts of our culture, perhaps. Perhaps even in our own personal lives, certain differences that keep us up at night. Maybe you're looking ahead already to Christmas and how you're going to get it all finished and with all the presents and everything. Maybe you're looking ahead to your to-do list, right? Trying to knock out your to-do list. It's keeping you up at night. You can't seem to find a wink. Maybe you're just kind of going through that cycle, recycling the anxieties, the pressures, the deadlines. Perhaps it's the challenge of raising children who are straying from the Lord and seem to be allergic to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're up at night thinking about why you're still single. Or if you're actually going to be able to be accepted into the college that's first on your list. What's keeping you up at night? Dear friends, Psalm 119 is about a lot of things, but it's also about using the Word of God. It's using the Word of God when you can't get to sleep. I preach you the Word of the Lord as David here is using God's Word. Is it useful to you? Not just during the day, but before the dawn, during the times of the night watches in the language of King David here. We first of all want to take a look, two lessons for tonight and then some applications. The first lesson is the fact that David is in the Word before dawn. And why then, number two, is he in the Word before dawn? Because the Word of God is so dependable. Because the Word of God is incredibly dependable. First of all, before dawn. And you see there with me in Psalm 119 at verse 145, David is up and he's calling on the name of the Lord. He's in contact with God because he's surrounded by enemies. And I believe those enemies are the enemies that come from inside out, but also the enemies coming at him and you from the outside in. And that's why he's calling out in desperation for the Lord to deliver. He's praying for God to deliver him from his enemies. We think of our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we cry out to him with David. He calls on the name of the Lord. Answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. when you bring deliverance, I promise, I make you a vow that I will deliver obedience. And no matter what, no matter how the Lord answers that prayer, David is instructing us, be devoted to the cause of the Lord, to the law of the Lord, and to the reign of the Lord. David gets in contact with the Lord, and he's communicating with God very, very frequently, isn't he? And we read about that as he cries out, Lord, save me, I'll keep your statutes. Verse 147, you see there with me, I rise before dawn, and I cry for help. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. Psalm 119, verse 148. This comes up four times in Psalm 119. If you check out with me in verse 55, let's read verse 55 together with me there. We read in Psalm 119, verse 55, in the night I remember your name, O Lord, and I will keep your law. And then at verse 62, you turn to verse 62 with me, at midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. David gets in contact for God to help him. But it's not just, you know, one-off. When I feel like it, it's a routine for him. He's in this cadence, so to speak, of crying out to God, not only during the day, but during the night watches. And my brothers and sisters, that's how you know and I know that our relationship, our good relationship with God, is truly alive. We're lit up by the love of God, that even on a sleepless night, we're in contact with the Lord. What's the first word that comes to your mind whenever you read Psalm 119? What's the first word that comes to your mind if you've heard a sermon on Psalm 119? Young people, honest, long. Maybe you think very long, long word of God. You think law, right? You think Bible. We think studying the scriptures, hiding the word of God in our hearts. How shall a young man or woman keep their way pure? By obeying the word of the Lord. Actually, the first word that should come to our minds when it comes to Psalm 119 is prayer. This is David in prayer. Psalm 119 is a prayer book of David, inspired by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. And David is communicating with God frequently, and it kind of dawned on me, like almost all the way through Psalm 119, that David is showing us how to have a quiet time with God. Do you have a quiet time with the Lord? You know, personal devotions in the Word of the Lord, and having God speak to you, and then you're speaking to God, and having this heart-to-heart communication with the God of the Bible. David is showing us here how to have a quiet time. What is that? A quiet time, our personal devotions during the week, dear friends, is certainly this. It's, at the very least, it is your mind and God's in contact. That's what a personal quiet time and devotional life looks like. Your mind and the mind of Almighty God in contact. Through prayer, of course, but in light of the Bible itself, the law of the Lord, and the testimonies of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And why do we do it? Why do we want to keep in contact with God? Because we want to worship the Lord. We worship God in order to build into our lives the wisdom of that word, so that we can live winsome lives, winning others for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what a quiet time means, and this is why we have this quiet time, to worship the Lord and to be exposed to the grace and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that our lives emanate with that grace and glory. David is up before dawn. Why? Because he knows the word of the Lord is absolutely dependable. It's absolutely dependable in the second place here. David expresses this great confidence he has in the Lord, and especially that word of the Lord. My eyes are staying open through the watches of the night to meditate on the promises of God. So here's the first reason why the word of the Lord is so dependable, and David's just doing this deep dive into the scriptures, even when everyone else is sleeping and he can't. Here's the first reason: hear my voice in accordance with your love. And it's the chesed love of the Lord, that sticky love of God that we can't get away from as saints of the Lord, even if we tried. It's the chesed of the Lord, and it's the justice of God that He has made a promise, and He always keeps His promises. He owes it to us in many respects. He has sworn on oath. He's sworn by none other than Himself. The book of Hebrews chapter 6 says, we swear by what? Someone higher than we are. If we are to go on the record and swear, I am telling the truth, we take those vows in a court of law or in the church of Jesus Christ, for instance, there's someone much higher than we. So we swear by the name of God. God has no one higher than Himself to swear by. So He swears to us by Himself. That's why the word of the Lord is so dependable. And that's why David's mind is in contact with the mind of God at nighttime. He expresses confidence as well. We read together, verse 150, those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Maybe that's what's keeping you up at night. And you think of where did the nation I served in the military so many years ago go to? What kind of world, what kind of nation are my grandchildren going to be receiving and inheriting? As in our day and age, as you get an eyeful and an earful from social media and television and all kinds of media out there, how the enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ are marching. And these are days of evil. And you think about that when, right is called wrong is called right. And what's happening often in our day and age by the leaders of our land, and even in some leaders of the church, what's happening is, God gives us, a bow and arrow, and we're supposed to be taking that bow and arrow, and we're let the arrow of our life fly and to hit the target, to glorify God by honoring the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just like someone who, points the arrow, lets the arrow fly, and it doesn't hit the target, what's happening in our day and age, and we're talking about enemies here, right? Enemies are surrounding us. What are these enemies doing? They're serving up a lot of propaganda that when the arrow hits the wall, what are the enemies of God doing? Well, they're just painting a bullseye around the arrow, right? Redefining what is right and wrong. Maybe that's what's keeping you up at night. And David gives us an incredibly relevant lesson, truth claim here. He says, as the enemies are surrounding us and encircling you and me, David says, you know how you handle a real threat? And we are threatened in our day and age. How do you handle a real threat? You got to embrace a bigger fact. Embrace the bigger fact of who your God is, the sheer size of God in Jesus Christ for us as our defense and our defender. When you are facing, and I am facing, a real threat, you need to behold the bigger fact. The Lord is near, even as our enemies are drawing nearer. verse 151, "Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true." The Word of God is dependable. How do you know you have a carpenter around you? It's very easy to tell. They got their blueprints out, right? They got their hammer. They got their truck with all of the equipment. How do you know a police officer's around? He's got the uniform, the badge. He's got the sidearm. How do you know the Lord is around? Psalm 23 tells us the Good Shepherd is with us. He's got a rod and staff to beat the living daylights out of the lion, out of the bear, out of the threats and the enemies that we are constantly facing. And in the words of one author, dear friends, God our Father in Jesus Christ has always been close. He's always close to us. But it takes those times when we feel threatened, so much so that we can't even get a wink of sleep at night. It takes those moments for faith to realize how close God has always been. How close God has always been to us. Your Lord pulls an all-nighter with you. He's up at night with you. And the dependable word of the Lord is yes and amen in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ bought this personal access to God Himself for us, an access that's so intimate and personal that really David didn't experience this as we do. Certainly Moses didn't. But Jesus Christ has died and He's risen from the dead and He's ascended into heaven to give you, by the blood He has shed on Calvary's tree, this kind of personal face-to-face, heart-to-heart, mind-on-mind contact with God your Father. Hebrews chapter 6, 13 says so. If you care to look that up with me, Hebrews chapter 6 at verse 13. We read there together at Hebrews chapter 6 at verse 13. And the context is that promise we made mention of earlier. God has gone on the record. He's made a promise. He swears by Himself that He means what He says and says what He means. And then we pick it up there at verse 13 and following. When God made His promise to Abraham, since there is no one greater for Him to swear by, He swore by Himself, saying, "I will surely bless you and give you many descendants." And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which is it impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf and has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You get the main idea there. The picture is that our Lord Jesus Christ had this chain and He kind of wraps it around you and me, and then He goes into heaven, goes through the veil, and He's got an anchor on the end of that chain. And when He gets into heaven, anchors away, and you are anchored and locked into glory on a sleepless night. And perhaps you're up because you can't get past your past. And I can't either. Dear friends, in the winds of change, in the storms of suffering, the anchor holds. God's not going to let you go. Go ahead and test it out. The love of God in Jesus Christ has got you. And it's not letting us go, and it's unbreakable. The chain that holds us in glory, so that where Christ is as our great trailblazer and forerunner, we will be also. That's good news when we can't get past our past. Because because there's more forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ than there's failure in me and failure in you. Our anchor man guarantees it because he's the dependable Word of God Himself in the flesh. Two applications for tonight. Number one, begin a quiet time with God. Do you have that in your life? Build it in. Maybe you're stuck right now. Maybe it's much too routine. It's dry. Your spiritual life and reading of the Bible's too dry. It's so routine. You don't feel as if God is really speaking to you. Then change things up. Ask your pastor for another Bible reading program. But make sure reading through the Bible, dear friends, and your personal quiet time with the Lord, make sure that it's challenging enough, but not too overwhelming. If it's too overwhelming, right, like 30 chapters at a time, you're going to give up, and so am I. Make it doable. Begin to have a quiet time with God. How do you kickstart it? What do we mean, practically speaking, of what a quiet time looks like in your life and mine? It means meet God right away, in the morning, the best hour, right? The best moments, right away, at the beginning, before the dawn, at dawn, meet God, listen to God through His Word speaking to you, and then call on God, contact God through prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Claim the promise of God in that text. Repent of the sin God is convicting you and me of, and gain fresh insights of God. Meet with the Lord. Begin a quiet time with the Lord. This is how we kickstart a quiet time with the Lord, if indeed it's stalled out in our lives. And then secondly, dear friends, when you're up at night, and I am too, where are you going to park your heart? Where am I? Maybe you park your heart and your mind in the parking spot of drugs. Maybe you're parking your heart or your mind in the parking spot of abusing alcohol. Maybe you're parking your heart or mind in the parking place of numbing out on television. That's my go-to. Maybe it's just melatonin, and sometimes we've got to take it, right? But, dear friends, those are moments in our lives that God says, I want full of God instead of godless moments. So let's reacquaint ourselves with the friends of the Scriptures, our friend in David, in Psalm 23, our friend in the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 1, those familiar scriptures where we can park our hearts and our minds and discover we are meeting God. He's listening to us and He's loving on us. And then, dear friends, our sleepless nights will never, ever be the same again. It's just on my mind tonight because talking to my dad a week ago, he said there's a young man in the congregation where he attends worship out in Michigan. I don't know him from Adam, but who took his life. I'm hearing way too much about suicides these days. Took his life because, according to the pastor, he just felt as if he was a failure. You may have lived your last yesterday. I might too. The Bible says, redeem the time, the day and the night. Receive Jesus Christ now as your Savior from your sin, your Savior from your suffering, so that the moment you die, you'll live. In an endless day with no sunset, amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for Jesus, our anchor man. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you died, that you rose from the dead in great victory and ascended into heaven. We're grateful for that anchor of hope that has locked us in to glory land, so that where you are, Lord Jesus, by grace alone, through the gift of faith alone, we may be. And we pray that if there's anyone here tonight hopeless and feeling like a failure, Lord Jesus, we pray, convince them that there's more forgiveness in you than failure in them. And may they be brought by your Spirit from death to endless life. Lord, help us to begin or continue that quiet time with you. We pray that we may meet you and hear you and talk to you as personally as David did so long ago. Lord, show us where you want us to park our hearts and our minds. Thank you for a parking place for our restless hearts and minds we can't sometimes turn off with all of the anxieties and insecurities we sense, with all of the threats and enemies around us and inside of us, when we simply just can't sometimes get past our past. Thank you for that reserved parking place for our hearts in your home in heaven. Dear Father, we ask that you would apply your word to our lives. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.